It seems like time is going faster than ever. Almost feels like last week we were receiving 2018, and now we're almost done with July. It's before you know it, we'll have to start preparing and the spending for the holidays. So in just a capsule, whatever time you have available, handle it well. Manage it well. Give God his due, which is the first fruits of our lives. Amen. And spend time with your loved ones and be a light in the midst of darkness. Amen. Praise God. As time is going faster, then we need to manage it even more soundly. Amen. If you turn your Bibles with me, Jeremiah chapter 29. And as you seek the scriptures, I know we have technology available, but I'm a little bit old-fashioned. Praise the Lord. So if you have your Bibles, just turn Jeremiah chapter 29. I just want to salute and honor the woman who has borne one of the greatest loads on earth for the last 18 years, my lovely wife, Deberis. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. She works behind the scenes, but I would not be able to do what the Lord has called me to do if she was not by my side. Jeremiah chapter 29, I want to direct my attention to verse 10 through 13. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 10 through 13. I'm going to be reading from the New King James Version. You may have a different version, but in essence, it will say the same thing. And the word of God reads, "For thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you, and cause you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." Amen. Would you turn to someone and let them know he will do it? Now turn to someone else and tell them when you're ready. Amen. He will do it when you are ready. The book of Hebrews chapter 11 says that without faith it is impossible to please God. For it is necessary that he who draws near to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So without faith we cannot approach God. We must believe without seeing. And one of the definitions of faith is trust. Somebody say trust. Trust means is that you have peace in your heart and you depend upon someone else's ability to be faithful and capable of executing what you need him or her to do. In the case of trusting God, you have to trust God even when you do not understand the circumstances you are facing. And it is difficult to trust God because if you cannot see God, then you cannot see his faithfulness. There are many attributes of God that are unseen by the naked eye. You have to trust in your spirit what he is able to do, that he is going to fulfill his promises in our lives. And there are several aspects of God that we have to also trust. And I want to just quickly talk to you about three things about God that we must trust. Amen. The first one is we must trust God's eternalness. God is eternal. God transcends time, which means before time began, God already was. When there is no longer time, God will continue being. Now, it's tough to wrap our minds around that because you know the day that you were born, and none of us know the date when we're going to pass on to glory. Hopefully, it's not anytime soon. But God's eternalness should bring a sense of peace and trust to our hearts. Because if he knows how things should be from the foundations of the earth, the Bible says that we were blessed in Christ before the foundations of the earth. And if I was already blessed and already chosen and elected in him before the foundations of the earth, then here in space and time, everything is going to be all right. Because if he set it forth from eternity, then all you and I are doing on the earth is fulfilling his plan. We're just manifesting what he wanted to do from the beginning of time itself. So we have to trust God's eternalness and trust that purpose, that you and I were in that purpose and in the mind of God. And whatever is going on in our lives, he knew it was going to happen. And he already has something in place to counter whatever the enemy may do. Even in the midst of our own failures and mistakes, God knew it was going to happen. So he has something in place to help us come out. Somebody say amen. The second thing that we should trust is God's omnipotence. That's a Sunday word. And today's Sunday, so we might as well use some Sunday words. Omnipotence means he can do anything. Now, I didn't say everything. I just say anything. And I want to stress anything versus everything, because anything means that whatever your mind can and cannot imagine, he's able to do. And because he's able to do it, and he's El Shaddai, he's the all-sufficient God, it means that whatever you are incapable of doing, he is able to do it for you. You can trust that. So when we face circumstances that are too strong for us to bear, or face situations that we do not have the power to change or to alter, God is able to do what we cannot do. And we must trust his omnipotence, because sometimes in life when you're faced with challenges where you don't have the power to change things or to alter things, we become frustrated. We become burdened. We start losing hope. We start losing peace. Because we say to ourselves, this thing I cannot change. I cannot change this person or this circumstance. What am I going to do? You have to trust God. Because he can have anything at just the snapping of his fingers. God can speak it into existence from nothing. And in one instant, in one microsecond, God can change your whole life. We must also trust his omniscience, which means he knows it all. Now, on earth, we have a lot of know-it-alls. And some of us, whether we want to be honest about it or not, have at one time in our lives or another, have acted like a know-it-all. But God is omniscient, which means he knows it all. If he knows it all, that means that he knows what we are going through. And he knows that there is a time where he is going to hand us victory. But he also knows what stage we are in. Somebody is willing to say this morning, the Lord knows what stage I'm in. And see, God is a sincere God. He will not lie to you. God is not like some of our friends who do not want to lose our friendship. So they're willing to lie to us instead of telling us that outfit does not look good on you. God is not like sometimes our own brethren in the faith that won't tell us how horrible our hair might look just because they don't want us to feel bad. God will tell you what stage you are in. God will show you what maturity level we are at. God will show you how much you have left to gain and how much more you need of him and what lessons you need to learn. And what he will do is, when he knows there's a blessing already in store for us, if we're not ready to receive it, then he's going to put it on pause while he gets us ready. There are some people in here that are waiting for a blessing from the Lord. Anybody can raise their hand with me on that? Well, I came to tell you this morning, the blessing is ready. But maybe I'm not. And because we're not, then God has to process us through different circumstances in order to work on our minds and our hearts and our behavior. Would you tell somebody, or even if they get mad with you, maybe God wants to change your behavior. Have you ever thought that maybe the financial crunch that you might be facing is God trying to change your spending habits. Somebody help me in here. Brother Joseph, in about 10 minutes we're going to have some church. Have you ever placed a thought that maybe the physical challenges we might be facing is God trying to change our ways of living? Maybe that boss that is getting a little bit more difficult, it's God sending a message. Maybe you need to change the way you think or perceive things, or the way you speak, or the way you respond. So God, in his love for us, because he's a good, good father, he will channel us through circumstances. And our mistake is sometimes we pray for him to change our circumstances. And when we don't see the circumstances change, then we start rebuking the devil. Devil, you're a liar. You're a liar. You're a thief. Rebuke him. By all means, rebuke him. But you also have to open your mind to the possibility that maybe God does not want to change your circumstance because he wants to change you and I. He wants to change our ways of seeing things. And he wants to go ahead and also transform our nature from a natural nature to a spiritual nature, so that we stop thinking about us and start thinking about him and have his purposes and his goals manifest through us. Somebody say amen. So he knows what stage we are in. And so he channels us through circumstances in order to get our attention. And once he has your attention, he's going to put a mirror right in front of you and I. If there's something on the face of this earth that won't lie, it's a mirror. I don't care what people may say. You get in front of that mirror, they can say you look skinny, but that mirror will let you know you're blessed and highly favored. Mirrors don't lie. Doesn't matter how young they say you look. You get in front of that mirror, they'll reveal the experience and maturity that God has given you. Amen. Somebody say mirrors don't lie. And God has placed a mirror in front of us called his word. And every time you're going through a circumstance, he'll take you to a scripture that will reveal to you where you and I are standing in him. And so in this passage, the children of Israel are facing captivity. And as Nebuchadnezzar continues to get closer to destroying the city of Jerusalem, the people of Israel, just like you and I, are crying out for a miracle. Lord, please deliver this deliver us from this circumstance. Lord, please deliver us from Nebuchadnezzar. And they start to quote the promises of God, as you and I do. Lord, we are your inheritance. You made a covenant with our father Abraham. We are your children. We are the light of the nations. We're the example that you have set forth to be able to show your statutes and your laws to all the world. Remember the covenant you made with Abraham. Remember the covenant you made with your servant Moses. Remember the covenant you made with David. Because when we're in trouble, we make the best prayers. Trouble will get the best prayers out of you. But the Lord sent a prophet. Somebody say, prophets are needed. And Jeremiah said, my people, captivity is God's plan. Dun, 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 dun. Now it's nice to prophesy good things and to fill people's hearts with hope. That's wonderful. But when God has something that he needs for us to go through in order to channel us to his purpose, the faithful man and woman of God will say the good things and they'll also say the bad things. So I cannot promise you that his purpose is going to be fulfilled in a glorious state where you won't have to go through anything. But I can tell you that if you go through something, it's still God working through you to get you to where he wants you to be. And Jeremiah told him, you're going to be captive for 70 years. And somebody might say, well, that's cruel. But see, it took 70 years to get some stuff out of the nation of Israel. Get complacency out of them. Get religiosity out of them. Get lack of commitment and lack of passion for the Lord out of them. So when they raise their eyes 70 years later and say, well, it's time for a change. And if we want to get back to where we were, we got to go back to God. Maybe God is trying to get someone's attention this morning. You've been going down all the wrong avenues, trying to satisfy yourself through different things. And God says, when you come back to me, you will find satisfaction. When you come back to me, you will find peace. You will find love. You will find power. You will find the answer once you decide to come back to me. Somebody say, amen. So God said, you're going to be there 70 years, and once I get everything out of you that I need to get out of you, then I'll restore you back to where you once were. And so the prophet says, inspired by the Holy Spirit, that I know the thoughts, says the Lord, that I think toward you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. It doesn't make sense to hear that when you're going through something, but God says, even what you're going through, my purposes are for peace and for hope. But he says, but when I get through this, somebody say, when I get through this, when you get through this, I'm going to be found by you. Now, I need to say this. God wanted Israel to seek him, not for the things he was able to do. God wanted Israel to seek him for who he was. I want to sow that into your spirit in the name of Jesus. God wanted Israel to seek him not for what he was able to do. He wanted Israel to seek him for who he was. And that's a message that I believe the church here in America needs to hear. We are used to coming to God for stuff. We are used to coming to God for cars, for houses, for financial breakthroughs. We're used to coming to God for healing and for God to do certain things that we want him to do. When is the last time that you got on your knees just because you wanted to speak to him? When was the last time that we saw him just because we wanted to spend time in his presence? When was the last time you prayed not because you needed something, because you wanted to have some fellowship with the Lord? When's the last time you saw him because you wanted to receive an anointing from the Holy Spirit? When's the last time that we saw him because we wanted to be used by God to bring people to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ? God wants to take us from a mentality of need to a mentality of purpose, so we do not seek him for stuff, we seek him for who he is. Somebody put your hands together for the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. It's not wrong to pray for things you need. But if you're going to seek God, seek him for the right reasons. Because God said, when you seek me this time, you're going to seek me with A-L-L. And I'm not talking about the detergent. I'm talking about all your heart. Which means that the processes which he allows us to go through are designed to capture all of you. Spirit, soul, and body. It means that God is turning some things in our perspective. He's turning some things in our hearts so that when we seek him now, we seek him that his kingdom come and his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He channels us, so now our agenda is not about what I want. It's about what he wants to do through you and I. And I believe that Catalyst Community Church has been going through a tremendous onslaught in 2018, but the purpose of God is to get our hearts to be completely synchronized and completely synced with what God wants to do. So he's allowing us to go through the storm and the fire and the furnace to get our attention to seek him for who he is. Because once he gets us to that level, then miracles will start to happen. Then God will start to do amazing and powerful and supernatural things. But he's going to do it when we seek him with all of our hearts. Please remember that Jeremiah had a relationship with God from eternity. Jeremiah 1:5. Help me, my brother. Put that verse up there. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Now, that doesn't make sense to me. But the Hebrew word for know means relationship. Before I formed you in the womb, before mama got together with papa, before your grandparents met, I knew you, Jeremiah. And before you were born, I sanctified you and I ordained you as a prophet to the nations, which means you came pre-programmed to do my will. Hallelujah. And see, when you have a Mac, you cannot think with a Windows mentality. And when you have Windows, you cannot think with a Mac mentality, because they're trying everything now to try to make them compatible. But at the end of the day, it's really tough. And so if we have been pre-programmed, if we were in the mind of God from before the foundation of the world, and we have already been pre-programmed to do His will, every time the world tries to impose its will, we're not going to feel comfortable. Oh, I wish somebody would help me. Every time that we're in out of the will of God, out of place, out of position, and out of time, something is going to start sounding an alarm in your spirit. We don't feel comfortable. I don't know about you, but I don't feel at ease. When I'm not walking in purpose, when I'm not walking in alignment with what God wants for me, I don't feel comfortable. Because there's something inside of me, in my spirit, in your spirit, that says, you're not where you need to be. You're not where He wants you to be. It's time to refocus, realign, recommit, repray, reread, recongregate, and put ourselves back to where we need to be so God can do what He wants to do in our lives. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This verse in verse 10 of chapter 29, it says, I will visit you and perform my good word. The word here, perform, in Hebrew means to awaken. Now that caused me some problems. When is the word of God ever sleeping? Doesn't Psalms 121 says that he who guards Israel should not slumber? King James Version. God is spirit. He's not flesh. So He doesn't get tired. But the word here says, I will awaken my word. It almost seems like the word sometimes is in a dormitory state. Has anybody ever felt like God was snoring in the midst of your disasters? That we're not different than the disciples in the Sea of Galilee. In the midst of a great storm, when their purpose was to get to the other side for ministry purposes. And here's Jesus, the Word of God, sleeping. And when He awakens, this always captures my attention. When Jesus awoke from His sleep, it was not because of the waves crashing against the boat or the winds that were blowing with all their might. It's because one of His disciples spoke to Him. And that's a revelation for us. God is so powerful, He's not worried about your circumstances, He's worried about you. And what's going to cause the Word of God and the purpose of God and the prophetic oracle of God to awaken is not your circumstance, it's your prayer. So somebody say, get to praying. If you're going through something today, get to praying. If you're facing the unknown, get to praying. If you can't change where you're at, just get to praying. And the Word of God will awaken and start to do something. He'll say, peace, be still. The calm will come. The peace will come. And you'll get to the other side. If you believe it, say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm about to finish here. Please put chapter 20 up there, my brother. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe there are promises here that many of us feel have been in dormitory state or about to be awakened in the name of Jesus. Things we've been waiting for, things we've been crying about, and things that we've been praying to God for, because He's getting our attention.
We're starting to pray the right way. We're starting to seek Him for who He is. And when God sees that, then He starts awakening the promises that He has given us. And we're going to see a mighty move of God. I believe it. How many say amen? Amen. Now in chapter 20, Jeremiah wanted to give up. And I have to mention this because this morning while I was seeking the Lord brought this strong impression upon me that there are some of us in here who have wanted to quit. Wave your hands at me. Don't be ashamed. I've been there myself. I wanted to hang it all up. Because you get frustrated. And sometimes you start dwelling on yourself. Well, I'm not good enough. I'm not enough. I'm not doing enough. It's not about us. God is processing us to make us into what He wants us to be. And once He's finished, you'll be all you can be. And you're going to be, hallelujah, ready for a move of the Lord. Jeremiah wanted to quit. The prophet, the one who was pre-programmed from eternity to prophesy to the children of Israel. Put it back up, brother. Stay with me. And Jeremiah, because of so much persecution, how many of you in the past couple of months, you've had even friends of you just turn on you? Wave at me. Friends and family members. Sometimes even colleagues in the ministry. People who you thought were with you all of a sudden shift. And you say, what's going on here? I didn't say anything. I didn't do anything. It's called purpose. Brother Joseph, you need to help me here. I feel something strong in this place today. I feel the anointing of God. Church, we're about to enter into a wonderful Kairos season in this church. We're about to enter. You're on the verge. Somebody please believe with me. You're on the edge, on the verge of entering into a miracle of God, into a move of the Lord, into what you have been expecting God to do. Don't worry about what you're facing. Just pray. Just praise. Just be faithful. Just give Him glory and honor. We're about to enter in. Somebody say, I'm about to enter in. Jeremiah said, people are turning on me. I don't have anybody around me now. The king's against me. The politicians are against me. My family's against me. I've lost my friends. God forbid Jeremiah to even get married. He didn't even have a wife to come home to. And he says, I will not make mention of him. It's over. I'm signing the resignation letter. God gets someone else to do this. How many of you probably wanted to leave your position? Say, God, get someone else. I can't stand this. Get someone else to do this. I can't handle that. I'm tired. I'm not seeing results. Just hold on a little longer. Tell somebody, say, just hold on a little longer. Just a little bit longer. Just a little bit longer. Hold on. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. God's about to do something. Hold on. Don't let go of the reins. Don't let go of hope. Don't let go of your peace. Don't let go of love. Don't let go of power. Don't let go of prayer. Don't let go of catalyst. Some of you, the enemy, have wanted to stop you from coming back to this church. You say, I don't want to come back. Don't you get away. God's about to release something in this church. He's about to release something in Southeast Orlando. He's about to release something in your life. Don't let go. Don't quit now. You're about to enter into a miracle. You're about to enter into a move of God. Somebody put your hands together and give God some glory in this house. I feel an anointing here. Jeremiah said, I'm not going to preach anymore. I'm not going to speak anymore. But His word, somebody say, but His word was like a fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary of holding it back, and I could not. Which means when God sees we're about to give up, He turns the on switch. And that you want to say no, and you end up saying yes. I've been at a point where I don't want to preach anymore. And as soon as I get a phone call, instead of saying no, a yes comes out of my mouth. I have come to church sometimes not wanting to lift my hands. And before I know it, my hand goes up. I have not wanted to get down on my knees and pray anymore. And before I know it, I'm like, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. I come before the throne and the mercy seat. When you say no, God says yes. And if you're about to quit, get ready. God's going to turn the switch on. And you're going to keep on praising and keep on praying and keep on giving and keep on coming. Because God is not going to let you go. He has a purpose with your life, and he's going to accomplish it no matter what the devil says, what the world says, what your family says, what your friend says. He's going to do it because he's got you ready. My God, have mercy. So somebody say, he's going to do it. Say with conviction, he's going to do it. He's going to do it. Because now you're ready. Tell somebody, say, now you're ready. Yes, now you're ready. You may not have been ready 4 years ago, but now you're ready. You may not have been ready 6 months ago, but now you're ready. You've got more faith now. You've got more maturity now. You've got more self-control now. You're walking differently now. You're thinking differently now. You're talking differently now. God's been processing you, but you're ready now. You're ready to receive. You're ready to administer. You're ready to handle the blessing. And so Jeremiah said, I tried to say no, but that fire switch went on. He said, and I could not stay, says the King James Version. And Jeremiah kept on prophesying. It wasn't up to him. Beloved, it's not up to you. When God wants to do something, he's going to do it whether I like it or not. It's not up to you. You were chosen in him from before the foundations of the world. It's no longer up to you. He has purposed to use you. He has purposed to bless you. Even the changes that we have been going through, it was all part of his plan. And he's going to show us a greater revelation of himself. Because he's getting us ready for what he is about to do. Will someone stand with me today? My God. I want you to hold hands with somebody. I feel like many of us in here, we've been asking the most famous question in the world from the beginning of time. Why? You don't have to have a doctorate to ask why. And the Lord says, I've been getting you ready. If I did not allow it to happen, you would not be ready. You now have a lesson learned that you did not have before. You know something that you did not know before. You're experiencing a change that you may have never experienced before. God is increasing himself by decreasing us. Getting us ready for what he is about to do. Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, this is your flock. Your people. Royal priesthood. Holy nation. You've called us out of darkness into your marvelous light. Every family represented here, every brother and sister, even the visitors, Lord, they did not come by coincidence. This word was waiting for them. And I thank you for the privilege of being, Lord, your mouthpiece this day. And I pray that you strengthen my brothers and sisters, that you give them victory in every aspect. From the spiritual, Lord, even down to the most simplest aspect, in the name of Jesus. We thank you that you love us so much
that you would process us to get us ready for your purpose. We thank you, Lord, that you have allowed even what we did not want to face, but you love us and you're getting us ready. And I pray, Lord, that we would continue to have faith, continue to trust you, and walk in the light, Lord, of your purpose. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 I want you to lift your hands real quick. I'm about to close. But there's an anointing. And I want you just now, with those hands raised, whatever it is that you need from God, just receive it in the name of Jesus. Just receive it in the name of Jesus. Just receive it in the name of Jesus. I feel someone in here that has been having a strong pain in your back area to the sides, almost in the kidney areas. In the name of Jesus, right now, receive healing. Receive healing right now in the name of Jesus. I see some of our mothers that has been having a discomfort in the area of the esophagus. Receive healing in the name of Jesus. Somebody raise your hands right now. There's healing in the house. There's healing in the house. There's emotional healing in the house. Yes, 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 yes. There's emotional healing in the house. I see someone right now in the name of Jesus. A sister among us right now. You shall spend the last 3 months weeping and crying. No one has been seeing you, but the Lord has been seeing you. And God's about to bring a closure to that stage in the name of Jesus. You're about to laugh with joy and peace and rejoice at what God is about to do. Somebody say amen. Somebody give God glory in the house. Give him praise. 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 Give him praise.
Amen, 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 amen. We're going to sing this in just a moment. Dear brother, thank you so much. What a blessed word from heaven today. God loves you to bring his servant today, to bring this word. And as Brother Joel said, if you're just visiting today, don't just write this off as some coincidence. God is working. Everybody say, God is working. He's working on me. Hallelujah. He's working on me. We're going to say this song in just a second. I'll say, yes, Lord. But here's what I'm sensing in my spirit. There's some people here who say, yes, I want to reconsecrate myself to God. I want to say, Lord, I'm in it for the long haul. God is exacting from you a dedication. God is extracting from you what he asked of Jeremiah. Will you go with me all the way? Will you follow me in spite of difficulties? Will you trust me in spite of things you don't understand? Or even in things that have disappointed you? Will you still follow me? Or will you be like those disciples in John chapter 6? The Bible says they became downcast and they turned away and they no longer followed Jesus. How many of you want to say to God today, I'm in it for the long haul? Put your hand up. I'm in it for the long haul. I'm in it for the long haul. I don't understand everything, but I'm in it for the long haul. And even, listen friends, listen. Even if in your heart you're saying, I don't know if I can do this, the Lord says, that's okay. You might be questioning, say, I don't know, Lord, this has been so hard. I don't know if I can do this. I've been so close to quitting. The Lord says, I see your heart. I will strengthen you. You take one step toward me, God says, and I'll run towards you. Hallelujah. God says, if you take one step of courage towards me, I will embrace you. I will run towards you. Hallelujah. So I want those of you who want to reconsecrate and say, God, I'm in it. I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to put my trust in you today. I want you to stand here at this altar. Come forward as we sing, I'll say yes, Lord. You make your way forward right now in Jesus' name.